Today's daf is Tetvav. We're going to start at the bottom of Yud Dalet Amabet, at the two dots, two lines from the bottom. Echad ha-nichnas la'azarah. So if we remember, we're going back to the case in the Mishnah where they said, Echad ha-nichnas la'azarah, v'echad ha-nichnas l'tosefet azarah. Remember, you can add on to the azarah. But the only way, then they said, the only way you can add on to the azarah, in a way that it would become kadosh, in a way that if you were tameh, and you walked into that area, you'd have to bring the Korban Olevi Oreid in a case where you knew you were Tameh, you forgot, and then you remembered you were Tameh. Always pays to review. It's only in a particular case where you did it. But Melech bin Aviv, Urim b'Tumim, b'Sanhedrin, Shal Shavim b'Echad, u'b'Shtei Todot, u'b'Shir. And then what happens? So you have to have the Melech, the Navi, and the Urim b'Tumim all sign off on it, that it's okay, right? This is like we said, you do Shiputz, right? People have to sign off that it's okay, your neighbors. It's like that. The Sanhedrin Shel Shavim Ve'Echad also has to agree and also has to be part of the ceremony. What do they do in the ceremony? They bring Shtei Todot, which we're going to talk exactly. What are these Shtei Todot? The Shir they would sing, and the Beitim Mahalchinu Shtei Todot Acharehen. The Beitim walk, and the two Todot are after them. The Chol Yisrael Acharehen. We're going to exactly describe what does this mean, who's after who, what's going on. And then the Mishnah said, "Apnimit ne'echelet achitzona nisrefet," which we said we're going to understand when we get to the Gemara, which is today. The inner lachmei todah, we already said they're going to be lachmei todah, we'll get to that. But the inner bread is eaten and the outer one is burned. We're going to see what's inner, what's outer, and why are they burned and one eaten. And if it's not done, v'chol elo ha'nichlas l'sham ein chayav aleh. Okay, so today we're going to be dealing exclusively with this topic. How do we know that it needs a whole procedure and it needs approval and all that? So the answer is, it says when they built the Mishkan, just like I show you, I brought the psukim on the sheet today so you can follow inside also if you don't have the Torah or... And this is how you should do it for future generations, meaning that it needs someone like Moshe, who is both a Navi and assumed the role of a Melech. His brother was the Kohen Gadol. We had the Urim V'Tumim, and there were Shivim Zkenim. So all of the things that happened in the time of the Mishkan have to be also present when we add on. Mativ Rava, Rava asks the question, if it says V'chein Tasu L'Dorot, well then... This seems to contradict something that we learn in a Braita, which we learned this before. Actually, we discussed this whole drasha at some point. Can actually look. It's in Sanhedrin, okay, and also in Yoma. Kol ha-kelim sha'asa Moshe mishichatan mekadishtan. All the kelim that Moshe created, right, which comes to this pasuk, right? Everything I show you, the tavnit ha-mishkan and the tavnit of all the kelim, v'chein tasu l'doro. Do it exactly like this in future generations. But Rava's going to say, but wait, there's something that we don't do like this in future generations. What's that? All the kelim that Moshe made, when he anointed them, if you remember, Moshe did this whole procedure, he anointed all the kelim, he poured this oil over them. The anointing of it makes it kadosh. That's when it gets its holiness. What does it mean, its holiness? Its holiness means that if a clay sharet has holiness, and you put something in it, let's say you put the ketoret in the kli for the ketoret, then the ketoret assumes kedusha. And then there has what we call an isur lina. If you remember, we learned this, that it can't, we discussed this very recently, it can't be left overnight. If it's left overnight, it becomes pasul. Once something's put in the kli sharet, if the kli sharet was mukdash, okay, which we're going to see, according to Moshe, it had to be anointed to have the status of kedusha. So Moshe anointed it, now it becomes kadosh, which means that anything you put inside it, then that item will be kadosh for that day. And once... the lina happens overnight. After the nighttime, it's already pasul, and you can't use it anymore. So, according to in the time of Moshe, Mishichatam HaKadoshan, now what would you assume? B'chein tasu l'dorot, that how are they going to become kadosh in the future? When you anoint them. But comes the Braita, and this is why Rava asks the question. He says, the Braita doesn't say that. The Braita says, Mikam va'elach avodatan mechanachtan. The way they become holy is by using them. The first time you use them, that makes them holy. That gives them their status, and not anointing them. V'amai, and why is this, Rabbi questions? V'neima v'chein tasu l'dorot. Why don't you use the same drasha? It says, tavnit kol kelav, the way they built the kelim, which would mean also the way they made them holy, and this should be done for future generations. So now the Gemara answers, Shanei Hatam, it's different when it comes to the Meshicha of the Kelim, the anointing of them, to Amar Kra, Vayim Shechem. Okay, now we go to Bamibar, Perek Zayim, Pasuk Aleph. Is that the right Pasuk? Yeah. So in Bamibar Zayim, Pasuk Aleph, you can look at the sheet. Vayihi b'layom kalot Moshe la'akim et ha-mishkan. When Moshe finished to set up the Mishkan, Vayim Shachoto, Vayikadeshoto. Okay, so he anointed the Kelim and he made them holy. There we see the anointing makes it holy. Vet kol kelav et mizbeach, vet kol kelav. Okay, so all the Kelim and the Mizbeach and all the Kelim that go with that. Vayim Shechem, Vayikadeshotam. This seems to be a little repetitive. It already said Vayim Shachoto, Vayikadeshoto. Right, that was the Mishkan, but then we get to Vayim Shechem, Vayikadeshotam. So now it could have just said Vayikadsham. So why does it say Vayikadesh Otam? So the Darshan, Otam v'mishicha v'lo l'dorot b'mishicha. Only these get Mishicha, but not future generations. Ema, but now they say, maybe you'll say, Otam b'mishicha l'dorot o b'mishicha o b'avodah. Maybe you could say that Otam means these are consecrated by Mishicha only. But lidorot, it could be either b'mashicha or b'avodah, by using them, which would mean that when it said b'chein ta'asu, it would still be somewhat relevant, because you can still do this, but it's not the only way you can do it. It can also be done by avodah. So how do we know that it's not an option in future generations to either do mashicha or avodah? Amar apap, amar kra, asher yishartu bam b'kodesh. Okay, what's this pasuk? B'mi b'dale, pasuk yubed, it says, V'lakhu et kol klei sharet asher yishartu bam b'kodesh. They took all the klei sharet. Okay, now they could have just said they took all the klei sharet. They didn't have to say asher yishartu bam b'kodesh, which they will serve. They will be serving them in the holy. Right? You don't need that. You don't need that. Those words. Those words are unnecessary. What do we learn from here? T'la'an hakatu b'sherut. The pasuk says, how the pasuk is telling you, Asher Yishartu Bam. First of all, notice it's future tense, which means in the future they will use them. And the pshat is, in the future they'll use them for doing things in the Mishkan. But what they're darshaning is, in the future they will use them, and by using them they will consecrate them. Okay? And therefore, from the combination of all these psukim, we have a Yikadesh Otam, only those b'mashicha. But you might have thought v'chein tasu l'darot means those b'mashicha and the other ones by mashicha or using them. Asher yishartu otam, asher yishartu bam, comes to say, no, in the future, only the sherut will cause them to be kadosh, and not either or. Okay, and that's how we have our final answer about how we know that t'lana katu b'sherut, that only because of that. So now they say, Hashta dekata rahmana asher yishartu otam lamali. Right, you could have just said asher yishartu. So otam lamali, what do you need that for? Ilo katav rachmana otam hava amina hanehu de meshicha lidorop b'meshicha uba avoda. Taha katav v'chein ta'asu. So now they're still not totally satisfied with this proof. They say, if you had asher yishartu, you would have thought that, again, the first ones are b'meshicha, and the later generations are b'mashicha and avoda, not either or, but maybe asher yishartu means you have to work them, and in addition, v'chein tasu l'dorot, and also mashicha. In other words, you have two different psukim. One highlight one thing that you have to do, and the other highlighting the other thing you have to do, as opposed to either or, we discounted. But maybe both, it's trying to say, each pasuk is coming to teach a different one. So therefore, mi'et rachmana otam. Therefore, the Torah says, no, otam. Otam b'mashicha v'lo l'dorot b'mashicha. The otam comes to tell you, only these are b'mashicha and not the others b'mashicha. Okay, in other words, right, the future generations, you don't use mashicha at all. Just want to check one thing here. Okay. Yeah, they're learning it. I was just checking if they learned it from the word otam in the Asher Yishartu. Right, it's from the word vayikadesh otam. Sorry, as I miss. I was confusing
especially
the
where
words.
The Otam came from instead of
it's from the Otam of Eikadesh Otam. You know, it's the Pasuk of Otam. They're talking about all three Pasukim. B'chein Tasu would have made you think both. The Vayikadesh Otam, Vayimshachem Vayikadesh Otam, by the Mashiach is coming to tell you only those are B'Mashiach. And Asher Yishar 2 is those are Ba'avoda. If you didn't have Otam, you might have thought Asher Yishar 2 Ba means that in addition to the B'chein Tasu. So the Otam of the Mashiach by the Kelim at the time of the Mishkan are coming to tell you just those and not any other ones. Okay, Lola Dorol B'Mashiach. Okay, now moving on to the Shtei Todot, Tana. So there's a braita about these shtei todot. The Mishnah, if you notice, doesn't tell you what these shtei todot are, but there's a braita that discusses them. Shtei todot shamru bilachman velo bivsaran. Okay, when you bring a korban todot, you bring an animal, and you also bring bread. If you remember, what kind of bread do you bring? You bring 40 loaves. 10 of them are, in fact, you know what? Let's read this. Let's skip now because we're going to reference this later, but I brought on your sheet the Rambam in Hilcha Maaseh Korbanot Perek Tet Halacha Yud Zayin. It was a good opportunity to learn a little bit about the Korban Todah, about specifically the bread that we bring. Ketzadu alechem shemivim atodah. Okay, we're in Halchot Yud Zayin to, I forgot, maybe Yud Zayin, Yud Tet, Kaf Aleph, probably Yud Zayin to Kaf Aleph. Ketzadu alechem shemivim atodah. Lokech esrim isaron solet. Okay, you take 20 tenths of solet, okay, which really means tenths is a tenth of an ephah. So basically, if you take 20 tenths, you're taking 2 ephot, okay? I did all the numbers up above. Okay, 2 ephot is 20 esrim ephah. And an ephah is 3 se'in midbariyot. We're going to see this in the Gemara. And the measurements in the midbar were different than the measurements, they call them Yerushalmiyot, okay, then later on in history. So there were 3 se'im midbariyot, it was an ephah, but that's equal to 2.5 se'im Yerushalmiyot. Okay, the shiurim got, one second, right, they got bigger. So 2.5 was equal to 3 in those times. When you say midbariyot, you mean the ones mentioned in the Torah. Okay, so an ephah is 3 se'im of Torah proportions, but 2.5 of, you know, the Yerushalmi, which is the later. Okay, so now let's continue in the Rambam. So you take 20 esronim, esron solet, vosemehen asara esronim chametz, v'asara matzah. You split these 20 tenths of an ephah, and 10 of them are used for the chametz, and 10 of them are used for the matzah, which shows, right, equal. Except we're going to see it's not exactly equal, because asara shel chametz oseh otam eser chalot. Okay, you're going to make 10 chalot out of the chametz ones, which is half the amount of solet that they took. And then they use the other half of solet to make 30 loaves of matzot. Okay, so you see it's not even. The chalot were much bigger. The 10 chalot had an equal amount of flour that the 30 did, the 30 matzot. Ketzam chamtzan. So now how do you make them chametz? Maybe sor kadech chamtzan, notam letoch hamidah, memaleat hamidah, apapisho sefali ochaser afam. We're not going to get into the details of this. You basically make these chalot. Okay, that's easy. Now skip to later in the halacha, second to last line. Vasara esronim shel matzah oseh mehem 30 chalot shavot. Eser chalot mikol min. Okay, 10 loaves of every type. Loaves doesn't mean a challah, because we're talking about matzah. Okay, it just means a loaf. Eser chalot ma'afet tanur, eser chalot rikikim, ve'eser chalot mor bechet. Okay, 10 baked in an oven, 10 rikikim, we're going to explain what this is, and 10 mor bechet. Ketzari amor bechet. Cholta birotchin, it sounds to me a little like bagels. You boil them in water, ve'ofeh otam me'at, and then you bake them a little. Obviously, they're not like bagels because they're not chametz, okay? But you boil them, then you bake them a little, right? That's what you do with bagels. V'char kach kola otam b'shemen ala yufas. But then you fry them, okay, which you don't do with bagels. Then you fry them on the pan. V'chayotze ko b'derech shekolin hasufkanin. Okay, I assume that means sufkaniyot, or something like that, okay? Relevant for today. U'marbim b'shomna, v'zeo arikucha amor b'chom akom. You use a lot of oil, and that's why they're called morbechet. They say that's the ribuch. Hamor b'chol makom. Okay, that's what they call the ribuch is the shemen. Ubekama shemen who oseh 30 mechalot. Then they give the shirim of the shemen and they say it's halachah l'Moshe Sinai. How much you're supposed to use? We're not going to get into that. Now we get to the chalot. Lotei tasolet shelahem b'shminit shel shemen. So with the morbechet, we added the shemen at the very end and fried them in the shemen. right? With the challah, what do? You mix the shemen inside to the mixture, in the dough. V'achar kach lash ve'ofeotan. And that's what you do, right? Then you basically knead them and then you bake them. Those are the chalot of matzah. Okay, they're basically, you know, our matzah doesn't have shemen, but it's like matzah with shemen. V'arikikin moshchan b'shminit shalehen achar afiatan. Okay, the rikikin, you put the oil on them after they've been baked. That's the difference between the rikikin and the chalot. Okay, and then they would use these. They would take arba chalot, achad mikol min. Lokach min akol, arba chalot, achad mikol min, shneamar achad mikol korban. Okay, then the Kohen would take one of, you know, four chalot, one from each. Okay, so now, that's the background to what we're going to see. So the Shtei Todot Shamru, B'lachman V'lo B'Vsaran. So we're not talking about the meat of the Koran, we're talking about the loaves of bread. How do we know this? Menan Emile, Amar Rav Chista, De'amar Kra. Remember, this was a braita they brought. Now we want to know, what's the source for that braita? Where'd the braita get it that it's not talking about animals? And now we're going to learn what the source bichlal for this whole ceremony was. And for this, we have all these psukim in Nehemiah. So again, before we read it inside, we'll read the psukim. In Nehemiah Perek Yubed, it describes, U'b'chanukat chomat Yerushalayim, we're in Pasuk Kavzayin. When they did the Chanukah of the, right, the, what's the word, Chanukah?
Consecration.
Right, consecration. Again, relevant for Seif Chanukah today. In the consecration of the chomat Yerushalayim, Bikshu et ha-Leviim mikom ha-komotam la-Haviyam li-Yerushalayim. They basically called all the Leviim to come. La-Sot Chanukah v'simcha, notice, u-Bish-Todot, u-Bish-Shir, mitzotayim nivalim u-Bechinohot. So they called the Leviim, remember the Leviim were the singers. They called the Leviim to come sing and to bring Todot. V'yasfu b'nei ha-Meshorarim, so then the sons of the Meshorarim of the singers came, blah, blah, blah. Now go to Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Va'alet sarei Yerushalayim me'al ha-chomah. And he took the sarim of Yerushalayim on top of the walls. Va'amidash va'amida, and I stood up. Shtei todot gedolot, two big todot. This is where we're going to learn from the fact that they're called big todot. V'taluchol yamin, and there was a talucha, like a procession going on the yamin, on the right side. Me'al ha-chomah l'shar hashpot. That's where we learn that there were two todot and a procession of people walking, just like it says in the Mishnah. So we're basically learning out the ceremony of how you add on to the Azara from who other than Nehemiah, who did this ceremony when he basically, you know, did the ceremony of consecrating the walls of Yerushalayim after they rebuilt the temple. Which makes a lot of sense to learn from there. So now what do we say? D'amar krav amida shtei todot gedolot v'taluchot liyamin me'al lachoma. My gedolot, what are these gedolot? Ilema mimin gadol mamash. If we wanted to say that we're taking the gedolot of the animals, in other words, let's take a type of animal that's large. So name a parim, well then they would have said parim. They would have just said which type of animal, like it says all over, which type of animal they took. So it must not be animals. Ela gedolot b'minan, maybe they mean they took the larger size animal of, let's say they had a number of parim, so they picked the largest parim that there were. But does God really care? This is an interesting line. Does God really care what size animal we bring? Does he care if it's a big par or it's a small par? And here's their proof, even though, right, you could use a proof of, it always just says bring a par, bring a seer. It doesn't say, right, what size ever to bring, but sometimes it talks about the ages, actually. But anyway, they're going to prove it from here. Vahatanya doesn't, don't we have a braita that says, Ne'amar ba'olat behema isherech nichach, ba'olat ha'of isherech nichach, b'mincha isherech nichach, melamed she'achad amarbe ve'achad amamid, u'babad she'chabenet libo la'aviv she'bashamayim. What do we learn from here? A very nice concept that all these things, both the behemoth, the ofot, which are obviously much less significant, and all the more so the mincha, which is much less than even the of, and certainly more than the animal. This reminds us of our Koban Olev Yoreh, right, where you can bring different options. But all of them, it says, Yisherech Nichach. And it's just, this is a pleasant smell to God, basically. So now we're going to show that obviously God doesn't care. It's all about what your Kavana is. It doesn't matter to God what you bring, which obviously raises the question, well, why do some sacrifices have to be particular animals? But you could say maybe those are for different reasons. But this would also definitely explain the Olevi Yoreh, why we have an option of bringing different possibilities. So either which way, what do we learn from here? That it doesn't matter whether your animal's large or your animal's small, so it wouldn't make any sense that they would dafka pick a smaller par or a larger par. So therefore, Ela Gdolasha B'Todah, it must be the larger part of the Korban Todah. Now, where do we have a portion that's larger than something else within the Korban Todah? Umayniu, chametz. The chametz portion was obviously larger. The 10 loaves of chametz were larger than the 30. Well, they were the same size as all 30, but they were larger than any 10 of the matzot, because each of them were only a third of the size of solet that was used as the chametz ones. And here we're going to see inside exactly what we said before. Titnan hatodai taba min chamesh sa'im Yerushalmiot, shehem shesh midbariot, shehem shtei efot. Vaifa shalosh sa'in, esrim yisaron. Okay, let's go backwards now, right? So they're made from 10 esronim of an efah, and an efah is 3 sa'im. I'm just reading inside and going in the reverse order. It's easier to go backwards to forwards, right, from the end. So they were made up of an isaron. That says in the Torah, right, that they're isaron. So in isaron, there were 20 isronot, or isronim. Each isaron, right, all together, the 20 isronim were 2 efot, and an efa is 3 se'im, which is 6 se'im midbariot, and 5 se'im Yerushalmim. Okay, that's not the important part. That's just all the measurements. But now we're going to say, since we had these 10 esronim, asara l'chametz v'asara l'matzah, they split those 20 esronim. I think I said 10 a minute ago. I'm confusing the 1/10 and the, right, so 20 1/10 portions. And out of the 20, they put 10 to the chametz and 10 to the matzah. U'b'matzah shlosha minim chalot, shlosha minim, there's 3 types in the matzot, the chalot, the rikikin, and the revucha. And therefore, the chametz obviously was larger. So when we talk about these lachmei todah, the shtei todot, what are we talking about? Lachmei todah. It must be the chametz portion of the korban todah. Amar Rami bar Chama, ein ha'azara mitkadeshet ela b'shayrei mincha. Comes Rami bar Chama and he disagrees. And he says, the azara was mitkadeshet with the shirei mincha. Now, with the leftover part, if you remember, the Kohen did a kmitza where he put his 3 fingers in the middle and he picked out a portion of the mincha. But the rest of it that was left was called the shayrei mincha. It had kedusha status because it was already in the kli shayrei. We're going full circle where we started. You didn't use the lachmei todah. You used the shayrei mincha. My time. What's the reason? Ki Yerushalayim. Ma Yerushalayim davar hanechal ba mikadsha. Af azara davar hanechal ba mikadsha. If you want to be mikadesh, the extra portion of the azara, you have to use something that can only be eaten within the azara. And the lachmei todah were allowed to be eaten in Yerushalayim. So he says, if you want to expand the boundaries of Yerushalayim, you're going to have some food that has to be eaten within the walls of Yerushalayim. Likewise, if you're going to expand the borders of the Azara, you have to use something that can only be eaten in the Azara, that's unique to this space. It doesn't make sense to use something that can be eaten outside. So Elik Yerushalayim, Ma Yerushalayim Tavar Nechalba, V'yotze Mimena Nifsal. Right, so now they say, I'm sorry, did I skip something? So then they say, and therefore, atu lachmei todah v'azara mi lo mitachle. So then they say, one second, atu lachmei todah. So they say, wait, but atu lachmei todah v'azara mi lo mitachle. But the lachmei todah could be eaten in the azara. So why are you saying, in other words, the kohanim, if they wanted to, they could eat the lachmei todah in the azara. So what's the issue? Just because they can also be eaten in Yerushalayim, but they still can be eaten in the azara. So it is mat'im. So they say, no. Elaki Yerushalayim. Ma Yerushalayim, it has to be exactly like Yerushalayim. Ma Yerushalayim davar hanechal ba v'yotze mimena nifsal. Just like Yerushalayim, it has to be eaten there. And as soon as you take it out of Yerushalayim, the item becomes pasul, and you can no longer eat it. Af azara davar hanechal ba v'yotze mimena nifsal. Also, the azara has to be nikdash, consecrated by an item that can be eaten in there only. And if you were to take it out of the azara, it would be nifsal. Okay? And therefore, it can't be these lachmei todah. So if that's the case, then if we're going to say it's just like Yerushalayim, well, in Yerushalayim, it's allowed to be chametz. Remember this whole thing, you're not supposed to bring chametz, use chametz in the Mikdash, in the Azariah, you're not supposed to bring the menachot, you're not bring chametz, you're not supposed to bring chametz with your korbanot. There's only a few exceptions, which is the lachmei todah, and the, remember, the shtei alechem on Shavuot. Okay, those are the exceptions. So now they say, if the thing you use in Yerushalayim would be the lachmei todah, then ima lahalan chametz, avkan chametz. If it's exactly like Yerushalayim, well then you should be allowed to bring chametz here. So why are you using this, why are you using the shayre mincha, which can't be chametz? V'tizbara minchat chametz mi'ika. So then they're saying, but there isn't such, and maybe you have to use a mincha that became chametz. So they say, but you might say there is no such thing. Maybe you should use the shirayim and have them, you know, machmitzotam, make them become leavened. The haktiv, but if you want to say that and then use them to be mekadesh, haktiv lo tofel chametz chalkam. Right, you can't bring chametz, right? That you can't bake the minachot, you can't make them be chametz. And Rish Lakish darshins there, even part of them, in other words, even the shirayim, you can't turn them into chametz, you can't leaven them. So they say, alama lo, afshar, but I could still come up with another possibility. Of what they want to try to do is find something. If they want to say it's like Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim they want to say is you can consecrate it by using the lachmei todah. How do we know that? Because that's what Nehemiah did, right? He used the lachmei todah to consecrate Yerushalayim. So now, what do we? Because he was talking about the chomot of Yerushalayim. So now, if that's the case, we want to say, well, if it's supposed to be like that, then it should be chametz. So now we're going to suggest. So what could we use? What else could be chametz? Can't be the shayre mincha because they can't ever become chametz because we're not allowed. That's what Rish Lakish darshin. Even part of them can't be made into chametz. But efshar de mekadesh b'shtei alechem ba'atzeret. Maybe you could use the shtei alechem from Shavuot to consecrate this shiputz you did in the Beit HaMikdash and expand the azara. So what's the answer? Mishum delo efshar. But you can't. Why can't you do this? Hechi neavid. How could you possibly do this? Nivne me etmol. Let's say you finished building it the day before Shavuot. V'nikdeshe me etmol. And then you consecrate it erev Shavuot with the shtei alechem that you've already prepared. No, because shtei alechem b'shchitat kvasim hu dekadshe. They only become holy, and as yes, you make the shtei alechem the day before, but they only become consecrated when you slaughter the kvasim, which you do on chag. As you can't, right? You can't consecrate something with something that doesn't have holiness yet to it. Yes, it's true they're already kind of prepared, but they're not holy yet. They don't have holiness, so it can't be that you do me'erev chag. Okay, second option. Nivnei me'etmol, okay, finish the building on Erev Shavuot, v'nikdeshe ha'idna, and then consecrate it on Shavuot. Be'ina, now that doesn't work, because be'ina kiddush b'shat ha'binyan, you have to have the consecration at the time of the building. You can't finish building it and then wait for the next day. So that doesn't work either. And if you want to wait till Shavuot, can't do that because you have to build it me'erev. We're going to see in a minute. Maybe you can build it on Shavuot, but let's assume we know you can't do that. But anyway, let's assume. So you have to finish the building the day before, and then the lechamim are only consecrated the next day. Well, that's not going to work either because you can't have the kiddush on a different day. Nivnei b'yom tov, v'nikdeshei b'yom tov. So fine, let's finish the building on Yom Tov and consecrate b'yom tov. Now, why would they even suggest this? Because maybe some things are doche Yom Tov, right? We know you could bring korbanot on Yom Tov and Shabbat. So what do they answer? No, ein binyan mikdash doche Yom Tov. Now that already, we don't let the binyan mikdash be doche Yom Tov. Nishvaka lebatar hachi v'nivnei. So why don't we leave it for the day after Shavuot, and we'll build it the day after. V'nikdeshei, and we'll use the shtei alechem from yesterday. Right, what's the problem with using them from yesterday? Lina, overnight. You can't do that. If so, they lay belina. Okay, the lina knocks it out. Nivnie mimale yoma. Let's build it from Erev Chag, okay, Erev Shavuot. V'nishayer beporta. Let's leave just a little bit, like the very last thing in the building. Da'ad kadish yoma. that by the time Yantif is over, la'alter nigmarei v'nikdashe, we can immediately finish it the second Yantif's over, and that evening, that night, we can already use the she'alechem. There's no lina problem. What's the problem? Ein binyan beit hamikdash balayla. Okay, you're not allowed to build a mikdash at night. How do we know this? Shenemar ubiyom hakim et hamishkan. Okay, so now we conclude, we tried every possible permutation, and there's no way to use the Lachmei Todah to consecrate the area. So they say, even though they said, right, Yerushalayim, it's Ki Yerushalayim, maybe you should use something that's Chametz. You have to, it's a weird Hava meaning, you would think, why Dafka, let's choose this Chametz? But you have to remember, because the Lachmei Todah were so unique that it was this case where you brought Chametz, they said maybe there's some reason to have something that could be machmit at this ceremony of the dedication. So they're saying if you go like Rami Bracham and you say that we use the mincha because it has to be something that can only be eaten in the walls of the Azara, then let's try to take something that's very similar to what they used in the time of Nehemiah that also could be machmit, but there's no possibility of doing that because we can't be machmit the mincha. And the only other option is the she'alechem, which we just showed cannot be a possibility. So we can't do that. Okay, now we're moving on to the shir part. Ubishir. Tanu Rabbanan. Shir shel todah b'kinorot ubenivalim ubetzaltzalim. Tzaltzalim are symbols, right? Kinorot are the harp and the lyre. Lyre, do you pronounce it? Lyre? Lyre and the symbols. How do we know those? Because that was in the Pasuk in Nehemiah, if you remember. As the Pasuk in Nehemiah said, there were Ubashir mitziltayim, that's the tziltzalim, nivalim ubekinahot. Okay, so they said all these things. Al kol pinau pinav, al kol evin gdolash of Yerushalayim. Ve'omer arumim ha'ashem ki dilitani. You say this mizmor tilim arumim ha'ashem ki dilitani. Where's that from? That's also relevant, right? Mizmor shir chanukat habayat le'david. Again, relevant to Chanukah. We say that also on Chanukah. The shir shel pga'im. Okay, we say the shir shel pga'im, which is a shir to scare away evil spirits. The yeshomrim shir shel nega'im. Some people say no, the shir of pga'im wasn't called the shir of pga'im, it was called the shir of nega'im. In a second, I'll tell you what it is. But some people say it was a shir of nega'im to get rid of diseases. Okay, what's the shir? This is, Mizmor Tehillim, that's very familiar. Mizmor Tzadi Aleph, Yoshev B'Seter Elyon. Say it on Shabbat. We say it in all sorts of times of Tefillah, different parts of the Tefillot. We also say it, which I'll be a lead-in, we also say it in Kriyat Shema Alamita. Okay, the source for that is going to be in our Gemara today. Why would they say it, call it Shir Shel Pga'im or Shir Shel Nega'im? So it says, Yipol Mitzidcha Elef Ravam Yiminecha Elecha Lo Yigash. A thousand will fall from your side, or vivah from myriads from your right, but eilecha lo yigash, the evil spirit will not get to you. So that's why they call it shir shel pga'im. And then they say in pasuk yud it says lo tuune eilecha ra'ah v'nega lo yikrav bo'alecha. Okay, no nega'im will come to your which are generally considered diseases. So it's some people view it as the shir against evil spirits, and some people view it the shir against diseases. Manda amar nigaim. Sorry, I forgot that the Gemara says this explicitly. Manda amar nigaim dechtiv v'nega lo yikra bo'alecha. Umanda amar pgaim dechtiv yipol mitzidcha elech. Ve'omer yoshev b'seter elyom b'tzil shaday yilonan ad ki ata Hashem machzi elyom samta ma'onecha. Which is interesting. That's pasuk ten, which is precedes pasuk yud, which is about the nega. So it's interesting that they call it the shir shel nigaim, but that's really what it's called. Then the question is, which part did they say in this dedication, right? Whether it's the Shir Shel Nega'im or the Shir Shel Pga'im is maybe not so relevant to why they read it specifically here. I mean, the reason why they read it specifically here is, you could say, probably to ward away evil spirits, right? You're worried always when you do some big party ceremony, right, that evil spirits are going to come, or maybe diseases, God will punish you. So we say this tefillah to kind of protect. V'chozer v'omer, and obviously I didn't say, right, obviously the Arumim Hashem Ki Dilitani is again the Chanukat, Mizmor Shir Chanukat HaMizbeach. V'omer Mizmor LeDavid B'Barcho Mipnei Av Shalom B'no. Why do we say this? Hashem Marabu Tzarai Ad LaHashem HaYeshua Alamcha Berchat HaChasel. Okay, you read it until that pasuk. What's that all about? Your enemies coming upon you. And in Nehemiah, they were very worried about the enemies, so even though maybe in the Mikdash they're not as concerned, but right, they're basing it on that ceremony there, so they say that to ward away the enemies. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Amar lehu lahane krai vegane. Those psukim of Yosheba Setra Yom, Rabbi Yehoshua would say when he went to bed. Okay, before he went to sleep, and this is where we get the Kriyat Shema Lamita is a tefillah that, actually, when the university years ago, I wrote a paper on it. I didn't open it up and take it out today, but I'm sure that I used this source. What I did was I collected sources where it talked about, tried to show the development of the tefillah, because the tefillah developed over time. It wasn't like there's in the Gemara or in the sources, it talks about Kriyat Shema Lamita specifically, but it was something taken from different sources over time and collected. So Yosheba Setra Yom got in because Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi would say this before he went to sleep at night. So now the Gemara says, Hechi Avid Hachi, and you have to remember, what was the whole premise of Kriyat Shema Lamita? People were scared of death at night. They were scared of death by sleeping. Like people were, you know, they say sleep is 1/60th of death, and they worried they weren't going to wake up in the morning. That's why we have tefillot like Elohai Neshama, where, you know, we're so thankful that we were brought back to life. And also, there were fears of night, of demons, of robbers, right? It's the same thing of Shir Shal Nigaim. Is it actual things or mystical, superstitious things? Either which way, people were scared for all different reasons. It was pitch black at night also, right? It's scary. They didn't have lights, street lights, other things. So the nighttime was a very scary time. So therefore, he would say them before he went to sleep. So the Gemara says, how could he do that? V'hamar, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, he himself says, Asur lehitrapot b'divrei Torah. You can't cure yourself using psukim of Torah. It doesn't work that way. So what do they answer? L'hagein shani. There's a difference between curing, trying to cure yourself by reading psukim, and protection. To read psukim to protect you, you can do that. Right? That's why people always say Shema. That's why also Shema is said in Eretz. Shema is one of those prayers that people always use as a protective prayer. Ve'ela ki amar asur de'ika makah, I de'ika makah asur v'tu lo. So now, the statement of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, they've got a question. It says, asur lehitrapot b'divrei Torah. Asur makes it sound like it's asur, but not much more than that. Okay, asur just means don't do it. It doesn't mean something's going to happen to you terrible if you do it. V'hatznan, doesn't it say, Halochesh al hamakah, ein lochelek l'olam haba. Didn't we learn the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, right? If you whisper, you do this incantation on a makah, you have no chelek l'olam haba. So why would Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi say, Asur l'itrapot b'divrei Torah, when the Mishnah already said, if you do this, you're not going to get olam haba. That's a much more severe thing. So ha'itmar Allah was already said about that. Amar Rabbi Yochanan about the Mishnah. If you remember this good review of Sanhedrin, birokek shanu the fisha emas kriim shem shemayim ala rekika. There it's time as someone who spits on the makah and then says the name of God or spits on the name of God. We had like a whole different, right? He wrote the Shem Hashem on it and spit on it. There was a whole debate about what exactly this means. But the lochesh on the makah is not the same as asur lehitrapot b'divrei Torah. What he's saying is don't reap sukim to cure you. Okay, it's a good question, right? What this means and what the relevance of this. Right? People always say tehillim and stuff to help people. But I assume this means that, like as a cure. I mean, it's a good question what exactly the boundaries, what it means, asur lehitrapot b'divrei Torah. But again, protection is okay. Curing is not okay. And to spit with using the name of God and, you know, like that, that's already, you know, you're not getting olam haba for that. Beit din mahalchim b'shtei todot acharehem. So now it says the Beit din walk and the two todot are after them and then Yisrael are after them. L'meim are debating kameh todah azle. Are you trying to say that the Beit Din went first? That's what it sounds like in the Mishnah, right? The Beit Din went first, and then the Todot. But they say, v'haktiv, if we're basing it on this Nechemiah ceremony, what happened in the Nechemiah ceremony? It says, in Pasuk Lamed Bet, after it says, v'amida shtei todot gdolot, v'taluchot liyamim me'alachom ala shar hashpot, v'yelech achareihem hoshai v'chatzi sarei Yehuda. The Sarei Yehuda, which were representative of the Zkenim, basically the Sanhedrin, they walked after the Todot. So how could you say that the Sanhedrin walks and then the Todot? That wouldn't be like the Nechemiah ceremony. So, this is how you read it. Beitim Mahalchim, the Beitim have a procession, and this is how the procession goes. Shtei Todot Mahalchot, u'beitim acharehen. And then, v'chein Yisrael, v'chol Yisrael acharehen. Okay, it was just saying, the Beit Din goes, and the Shtei Todot, and Yisrael go, but what it really means, it wasn't telling you the exact order, it's just saying the Beit Din moves, there's a procession, and first the Todot, then the Beit Din, then the people, because it has to match the ceremony in Nechemiah. Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi, Chad, Ketzad Mahalchot, how do these two Todot get carried? Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shimon Beredi. Chanamar zo kenegen zo. V'chanamar zo achar zo. Okay? One says they went one opposite the other. In other words, they were parallel to each other. And one says that they went one after the other. Okay? We'll stop here for today. Tomorrow we're going to explain, does this make sense? And how does this work in with the Pnimit Ne'echelet and the Chitzonah Nisrefet?